Caleb Collier says that this proposal is meant to protect their Second Amendment rights.
I'm proposing that the city of Spokane Valley issue a proclamation stating that our city is a Second Amendment sanctuary city.
Hello and welcome to Church and State, where we strive to plug you into the pew and plug you into politics. I am Pastor Gabe, and once again, I have to have some form of a hiccup on the intro. My best friend and partner in crime, Caleb, he has been working with Sean Foyt and the Kingdom to Capital Tour. He is out of town currently, and we bless him. He's got some great testimonies about what is going on in the capital of Washington, which you guys were actually at. You were there in Olympia, so we'll be able to talk about that here in a second. But I have two special guests who, in Caleb's going, we're gonna bring to you, all of our ACN listeners, and to Facebook land, what is going on downtown. We have two ministers, Dean McCarty, who is a Spokane resident, and his wife, Betty McCarty, who go actively downtown into the most, what I would call, darkest areas. There is no darkness that is too dark for Jesus, but by standards, this is where the cops are having the most trouble. This is where there's the most addiction, the most drug problems. They are downtown on a regular basis with a team of people, or sometimes just the two of them. They take these really cute Facebook photos before they go out, just the two of them. They are so unassuming and so wonderful and so sweet. They have this spirit that is so unafraid. They just go downtown and begin to minister to people. And we're going to, for the next two episodes, tell you about what's going on down in Spokane. Because a lot of you see it, but you don't know what's going on. You don't understand the fentanyl crisis. And I use the word crisis, not lightly, because it is a crisis. But the reality is that God is birthing something. There's something happening in the midst of all of this. And we're going to hear all about it for the next two episodes. Before we do, I want you to check out our website. Please, Caleb and I, we are not getting rich by any means. Our team here is basically, we're all volunteers, but we do have to pay for our airtime. So if you could go to our website, churchandstate.media, check out, those of you who are big time, you need new sheets. Get yourself some Giza sheets. Use the Church and State promo code. We love Mike Lindell. Please support Mike Lindell. When you use that Church and State promo code, we get a major portion of that as a media outlet. Also, check out our other fine sponsors. Those of you who have still not bought any type of survival food, or you don't have your grandkids need some reading material, Tuttle Twins, please go look at that stuff. Churchandstate.media. So I want to introduce two residents of Spokane. You guys are so cute. You're literally, what a lot of people don't know too, is they are newlyweds. They're both, without going too far into the backstory, you're both widowers, correct? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So, and they fell in love, and God is at the center of the relationship. Why? Because they both love street ministry. That's not a, usually there's one spouse who likes and the other. Sometimes God will partner you up with, my wife's not so much into street ministry, especially downtown. Doesn't scare me, but what is so cool is you two are so unafraid, and it makes for a great dynamic. So with that, please introduce yourselves.
Go ahead, Betty.
I'm Betty McCarty, and Dean and I met because, well, we met through a mutual friend that he actually led to the Lord. And I'm used to going up to people and praying for them. I used to have a street ministry, but when I partnered with Dean, he started pressing me further to give my testimony and to talk more openly, and I'm grateful.
Dean?
For those of you who are watching and listening, I'm coughing and I'm clearing my throat. I had an attack of stress before I came down here. I mean, awful stress. And we had to read our Psalms on the way down here. And I started coughing on the way down here, and I could not quit coughing. So we prayed that the Lord would help me. So that's why I'm clearing my throat and an occasional cough. But anyway, March 1st, 1971, I was a Jesus freak, and I was a drug addict on meth, heroin, but mainly meth. I walked into the Jesus People Coffee House on Main and Brown. It's no longer there. And I tried to get off meth for years. I walked in there, and they asked me, "What can we do to help you?" And I just said, "Well, I just pray that Jesus gets me off the needle and meth because I can't quit." And they prayed for me. It was about 11 in the morning. They prayed for me, gave me a ride home because I walked down there, and I had shot up meth the night before. So they gave me a ride home, and I never used again. I never went through withdrawal, and the desire for drugs was gone at that moment. I didn't know it for 2 months that Jesus set me free. Then I went to their Bible studies. Anyway, I became part of the Jesus People Spokane.
Wow. So, like, I'm going through with a friend of mine who is battling fentanyl addiction, and I so desperately wish, hearing that story, I wish I could just push that button for him. Sometimes God has an alternate plan, but when you hear stories like that, Dean, that is God divine releasing you from it. And you and I have done downtown during COVID. You and I walked through the mall of Spokane, right, sharing the gospel with people. And that same window that has been open since COVID is now been opened up through what a lot of people describe as a drug crisis downtown. There are so many people on our streets. There's so many people at all hours of the night. If anybody has, and first of all, let me ask you a question. What time of night do you guys usually go out? Because it's late.
It is. We usually start out at right around 10. We get done like at 1 o'clock in the morning usually.
Wow. See, guys, okay. Some people's, now, can you tell the audience, just because a lot of listeners don't know how old you are, I'm sure a radio land, they can assume maybe by the sound of your voice, but how old are you, both of you?
Well, they all think by looking I'm 40, but and December 12th, I'll be 80.
Holy crap. I just said the crap word. You can say crap as a pastor. 80 years old, and at 1 in the morning, this guy is beating down the gates of hell. Okay, Betty, I know it's extremely rude for a man to ask a woman how old she is.
I pass.
Okay. She's not going to tell, but
she's younger than I am.
She's younger than Dean, but I guarantee you, I know 50-year-olds and 40-year-olds who say 11 o'clock at night is way too late to be downtown. These people.
Well, I'm not that young, that's for sure.
Well, she looks great. And the both of you. Here's the reality is these two and a team. In fact, if we could put up the picture, Chris, this is they're members of On Fire Church where I go. And they have some people who go to On Fire, some people who don't. But they take out teams. They pray up. There's a young lady by the name of Brianna, and we also have I can't think of his name right now.
Rob.
Mm-hmm. He has been blessed, and you can see how God's ministering. Do you have that picture that we can show of the teams going out, Chris? Yeah. Go ahead and keep showing that. Yeah. So,
and both Robert and Brianna were friends of Betty's children. So Betty's known both of them for
they're the
many
same
years.
Age as
oh, wow.
My kids. Okay. Well, they're a little younger than my children, but my kids were just ahead of them. So they're about 5 years younger than my kids.
Yeah. I want to tell everyone out there who you sometimes you just say, "Hey, I don't have the courage to do street ministry." What do you say to that? Because I know there's a different type of person, but I think everybody should be doing something, whether it's like the exchange that happens even in a Costco where you're around an employee there or just even having the guts to talk to your coworker about Christ. You know, evangelism is just a lifestyle in Christ. Share on that, both of you, your take on that. Because I know not everybody's like you two, but everybody should have some of you.
Well, I know that for me personally, I wouldn't be able to talk or to ask people if I can pray for them, if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost. I really feel the power of God. No kidding. I've seen so many miracles when Dean and I go on the streets. I expect to see people set free. And when we walk up to a group, we don't just walk up to any group. We are led by the Spirit of God, and we feel like an opening where we'll go in and begin to talk to people about, we'll ask them if there's something we can pray for them for, and we'll offer to give them muffins. But we feel like empowered by the Holy Spirit. I don't even know how else to explain it. I wouldn't be able to do it if
you were doing it in your own strength.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. We would be torn up.
So everyone who's hearing this, you're thinking you're kind of like expected to do the push up or the sit up or the plank. It's God who's doing it with you.
Yeah. And so we have people that pray for us as a couple, and we feel their prayers, and we know that it's the Spirit of God, and we know we're enabled by God because we've seen incredible miracles, and we didn't do anything. All we were doing is just walking.
Right. Dean, what's your take on that?
Well, I've got a different type of personality than Betty. I grew up wrestling in high school, and out of that, for several years, I did a lot of fighting in taverns. So I'm actually not afraid of being beat up. I would think that would make a great story if I could get beat up by somebody down in the streets.
So you have that tenacity that you were born with. I remember you told me a story, Dean. This is just everybody just know how Dean is wired. And he just told you he's 80. But he told me that this is about a year or two ago. His son wrestles as well. For some reason, somebody decided to run out of a store stealing some shoes. And Dean just instinctively tackled the guy. And we don't have to get into the whole story, but that's the type of guy you are. You're like still just at your age, which everybody should be cycling for justice on all cylinders. But Dean is like even more than the normal person.
Yeah, it's I just felt the Lord telling me to go tackle him, and I ran out of Fred Meyer, and it was 10 after night when the security went off, and the guy was stealing two pairs of shoes, and he's bigger than I am, but I just went out, said something to him, and he said something threatening, so I just did a takedown and took him down. And,
I love this.
And did a few wrestling moves. Anyway, I did it, and that was when I was 75, and then 77 I did it again, but anyway.
I was just married to Dean, and we came pulling up to Fred Meyer, and we saw somebody running out of Fred Meyer with a bike.
Yeah.
And Dean threw it in park, and he was like, park the car. And I'm like, what's going on?
He's not okay with it.
He chased this guy down, and he was running off with the bike laughing. And the next thing I knew, Dean is dragging him back across the parking lot by his hair.
Wow. See, there's a side of you, Dean, that is extremely compassionate, loving, but there's also a side of you that does not want people to engage in sin. And I love that about you. Let's talk about, you know, we're actually, just so you know, those of you who are listening, those of you who are online with us, they have enough stories. We're going to get into some stories, some really great stories of testimonies of people and just crazy coincidences of how they've connected people and long-lost daughters and long-lost sons to their mothers. Before we get to that, recently in the news, there was a major story. Sean Foyt visited On Fire Ministries. He came there, and he had brought a priceless guitar that was hand-built by a man who about 5 to 10 guitars a year hand-built these guitars. The guitar was given to him. They're extremely valuable and rare. A man gave this guitar to Sean, and it was, this man had said he took the guitar back to the original builder, who was a father, and the son now worked in the company. His dad had passed away. What happened is this guitar was rebuilt by the son. So in other words, the ministry of this guitar, as Sean played it at our church, was the restoration of fathers to sons. And as he played at our church, it was just powerful. I was telling you, Betty, that I was in tears that night because the Spirit of God was moving through mostly the story of that guitar. So for it to be stolen was so heartbreaking. And that's, in fact, what happened that night in downtown Spokane. Sean, what I thought, unwisely left the guitar in his car. I thought to myself, why would you do that? Well, God had a plan. It was stolen, and we're going to go ahead and show you the news coverage right here of the process of its recovery.
Heartening news we hear and report daily. I thought I'd bring you a good news story. The guitar of Sean Foyt, the Let Us Worship leader, was stolen recently out of his vehicle in Spokane, Washington. He wrote on Instagram that the 1967 Gallagher guitar was special to him, a gift from Ray Hughes and irreplaceable. Foyt asked people to pray for justice and to be on the lookout for his stolen guitar. His wife Kate started to fast and pray, and the guitar was found the next day in what Foyt described as a Sunday miracle. He explained that his associate, Dean, was doing street ministry in Spokane when he ran into the man who stole the guitar. He said the man, Zach, was wrecked by God's love. Zach confessed to breaking into the car and stealing the guitar. Here Zach is with Dean repenting and asking for forgiveness. Foyt noted, quote, "Only God can write a story like this."
Wow.
But the bigger story is how God using the California singer.
This broke my heart. The very next morning, I got a call from Gavin, who's Sean Foyt's basically architect in the Kingdom and Capital tour. And Gavin told me, hey, man, be praying, and God is going to do something. We were all hopeless in that moment because we had actually envisioned somebody from like Antifa or somebody stealing it just to break it, just to kind of make a point, just to be evil to Sean. But I knew, and I was telling you, Betty, this, that the old story about the Philistines when they stole the Ark of the Covenant, what ended up happening is they realized, hey, we can't have this, and God have them sent it back to the Israelites. Well, similar, not exactly, but a similar story happened. Zach didn't keep it. In fact, it was found. So tell us about that story, Dean, and just the insight the two of you have about it.
Well, there's a ministry downtown called the City Gate. They feed people every day, have a cafe or a restaurant on the bottom and a big kitchen, and then they have three stories of apartments above that. So I went in the next day when I heard about the guitar, and I talked with my friend John Marinko. He's the pastor of the place, and he runs the City Gate. And he says, yeah, we already know about it. The police have already been here, because I was going to ask him to be on the lookout. I said, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go outside, then I'm going to go over to the House of Charity. I'm going to get right in the middle of all the drug addicts and yell, somebody stole my friend's guitar. I'll give a reward. No questions asked. He said, well, you should leave that up to the police. And I've known John for 30 years. I said, John, nobody's going to hurt me. Mm-hmm. So I went right outside, and it was lunchtime, so there's a line of people waiting to get into the City Gate to eat. And I first words out of my mouth was, I yelled, a friend of mine, guitar was stolen. I'm going to give a reward, no questions asked. I'm not the police. And the guy that was the closest to me in line, he was about 4 feet away, said, I know where it is.
Wow.
All right? As soon as I asked it, I go, nah, this can't be.
Wow.
And then he said, after I eat, I will bring it back to you. I know the guy that stole it. Well, I didn't wait around. I gave my business card. And so the next night, I know a kid that was on the streets for 16 years, David Elliott. He lives there, and everybody on the streets knows him.
Mm-hmm.
And so this guy, Zach, brought it to David Elliott at 2:30 in the morning, because David was there at an NA meeting, and they're playing cards after the NA meeting went over. So Zach brought the guitar to David because he knew David could get it back to me. So at 2:30 in the morning, David texted me and said, are you awake? I usually am. And in the morning, I said, yes, I am. And so then he said, well, the guitar has been found. Then I found out he called up Gavin because Gavin used to be on the streets. And so David and Gavin knew each other. So David David paid for the reward. And then Gavin picked it up. And then the story got to Sean. It got a little mixed up. And thought it was in a pawn shop. But so then that's how the guitar was found. And then I wanted to talk to Zach, about it in person.
Right.
And I go, I'd never seen him before. And I thought, well, Lord, please help me to see him again. So that was like a Sunday. The next Friday we went out and we had three muffins left to give out. And I like to get rid of all my muffins before.
Are muffins the secret weapon?
Yeah.
Everybody who can turn down a muffin.
Costco muffins.
Costco muffins. I'm a big fan of the chocolates. the chocolate chips with the chocolate.
So anyway, I saw this guy coming down Main Street. He was about where the movie theater entrance is downtown. Uh-huh. And I thought, okay, here's a guy on a skateboard. I'll give him the last three muffins. So I said, hey, would you like some muffins? And he says, hey, you remember me? I'm the one who stole the guitar. So Lord answered my prayer.
Wow, there he is.
So then we took him by the bus plaza, and that's where he got that picture of me. And I was playing a video, and I had the speaker in my hand, and mm-hmm. he was looking at my phone playing the songs.
Wow.
And he told me the testimony. He's got a wild testimony.
Wow. So later, you encountered him again, but this time you showed him a video of Sean playing music. And yes. What was it like? Tell me, go ahead and play the video. At that time, which this brings up a very supernatural thing, he was listening to a video of Sean's and singing. You can see he's actively kind of responding to it. He's bobbing his head. But he actually was hearing that you can't do it.
This is Zach watching Sean Foyt video.
There's no fight you're not ready for.
A touching moment.
Nothing's too difficult for Jesus. There's no place that's too difficult. Your love breaks through it all, Jesus.
Love breaks through it all, Jesus.
All right, go ahead and hold it for a second. So, Betty, you told me he was hearing something else. What was he hearing?
Well, he got teary-eyed, and he was just, like, looking at it, and he kept shaking his head, and then he looked at Dean, and he said, why is he saying there's nothing God can do? Mm-hmm. And Dean said, no, that's not what he's saying, Zach. And then Dean replayed it and said, he's saying there's nothing. He said, Zach, nobody is too far gone for God. That's mm-hmm. what he's saying.
Wow. And there was words on the bottom of the phone, so he was reading, God can do all things, not God can't do anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'd given him my testimony, how I was set free with one prayer. And then the song goes, anything is possible.
And he would remember, Dean, he was hearing something different.
Yeah.
And he asked you. So, and you explained it. I think when they're on drugs, that they're demonically controlled. So he was not able to really absorb what Sean was singing about.
Right.
So we had to explain it to him. And then he just softened up, you know, and was, man.
So I asked you the question, and I want you to both kind of take and ponder whoever wants to answer first. What do we have going on downtown? And frankly, what do we have going on downtown in Seattle, in Portland, in Olympia, SeaTac, Burien, Salem? What, you know, Boise. Boise's got some homelessness, and it's increasing everywhere. A lot of people, they're just chalking it up as a mental, some people will say it's a mental health crisis. We have a mental health crisis, as you know, those of you who are in the medical profession, they changed some of the legal categorization of the mentally health, the challenges for practitioners. They can't necessarily basically allocate funds for everyone. They can't say it's medical health involving psychiatrics. So places like Medical Lake, you know, the what they would call insane asylum or facility there that works with even the criminally insane, there's not the funding and the room, and there's all kinds of mitigation in that. So a lot of people know that there's some people on the streets who should be getting actual help. Mm-hmm. Then there's also the drug scene. There's as you know, those of you who watch the show, we've shown video of how in Seattle, one pill, and I've talked to the people around the building at On Fire Ministries, it's only $2 to $3 per pill for fentanyl. And usually they cook 5 to 10 a day, some as many as 30 a day. And that's not an expensive habit. And lastly, is it a demonic crisis? So is it mental health? Is it drugs? Is it demonic possession? And then I got to ask my team, we didn't start the timer here. So if you guys can let me know when we're around the 27:45 mark, let me know. Okay, so we got about 3 minutes. Okay, so either one of you, what is going on?
Tell them what Zach said.
Well, we were talking to Zach, and he was just looking right at Dean, and he said, so many people look at the crazy people on the streets, and they think, oh, that person's crazy, he said, but I just want you to know that it is Satan, that they literally have a demon. And this is from somebody who struggles with the same issues. And so we're just like, wow, did you hear that? We talked about it afterwards. It's like, yeah, you see someone running up and down the streets and they're crazy. It is a demon issue. It isn't homelessness or drugs or all of the other things. It's spiritual. It's mostly spiritual.
Wow.
The spiritual is the basis. Then, of course, it affects the mental. And then they take drugs. And so, but the very bottom is spiritual. And I mean, I was crazy on meth. And within a couple months, maybe sooner, like the drugs went away immediately and the desire, but started getting back in my mind when I started going to Bible studies.
Wow.
So the problem was spiritual.
We watched recently as a church the movie Jesus Revolution. It's very cool. I did not know you were part of the Jesus scene in California. You Jesus in California is where you found
Spokane.
Okay, in Spokane. But it was during the Jesus Revolution, basically the hippie scene.
Yes.
I guarantee you had more hair then and maybe some Birkenstocks or whatnot. Right. Okay, some bell bottoms.
Yeah, I still have Birkenstocks.
All right. But see, God, and we were talking about this, God uses the darkest times for his glory. In our next episode, we're gonna share some more of these testimonies, and I want you to actually share the dream that you had with in the next episode, and that'll kind of cue us off for what God is doing. It gets dark, but the truth is, in the darkness, God shines greatest. So we got about 20 seconds. Please come back, everyone. Hear more testimonies of what God is doing downtown. And those of you who aren't going to tune in tomorrow, we're going to pray right now just for these two. Just join me. Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray for Betty and Dean. We thank you, God, for what's going on. We pray, God, that you send more workers into the harvest. God, may you just give Spokane a run for its money. We thank you, Jesus, for protecting them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If any of you want to contact these two, please contact us, churchandstate.media. Contact us. We thank you so much. God bless you. God bless.
Welcome to the fire.
You have to get permission to play the